Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Today's date is the 25th day of July, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and of course, it's great to have you all with me here today to talk about issues facing our world, facing us all as human beings. We've discussed several different subjects with Christopher John Burkus. He has been with us. This is, I think, his sixth visit with the French Connection. This is the third visit in the last couple of weeks because Chris has just completed a book, and as a result of that book, he's added a great deal of additional information that he can share with us regarding, well, Bible prophecy, more importantly, the actions that are being taken in Israel and what kind of context he believes they're using this in. In other words, they have designed this somehow to coincide with Scripture in some way so that I guess they could turn around and claim that they were doing it by divine edict or divine right. We're going to discuss what's happening with the geopolitics of the Middle East and what exactly is the goal of this this particular foray into Lebanon and beyond. But before we do that, let me give you some details here. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, as I said, and my website is IamTheWitness.com, and IamTheWitness@Hotmail.com is my contact information. So, let's get right into it. Chris, how are you with me?
I'm here.
Well, it's nice to have you back, Christopher. We've been touching on a lot of subjects lately, and I'm going to start off with a question. Did you have an opportunity to look at Reverend Pike's take on the Ezekiel passages?
Yes, Reverend Pike addressed chapters 38 and 39 of Ezekiel from a Christian perspective and tried to inform his readers that the Christian perspective on these events clearly shows that Christians ought not to be Zionists, but rather ought to be opposed to this evil regime which has manifested itself in Israel, calling itself the Kingdom of the Jews. It uses the term Jewish state, which is equivalent in their minds.
Now, how does it explain itself? Because I've got to admit, I'm a real neophyte when it comes to Bible scripture and the significance of it, and I guess that's not really that fair of me to not have that knowledge when I'm supposedly putting forward facts regarding it. But what is your take on his? On how all this fits together.
What they're clearly trying to do, they, the Jewish Zionists, is to gain an ally in Christians to smash the artificial enemy they have made out of the Islamic peoples. But once they have achieved that goal of destroying Islam for no good reason other than their selfishness and their racism, they will then turn against the Christians themselves, who they have suckered into achieving for them all the terrible things that they have planned for the people of Islam.
So basically, they're using the American Christian movement, especially this the Hagee group, the what's his name over there, Pat Robertson, and Falwell. They're using those dupes as a force, a political force in America to sway public opinion.
Absolutely, and this is not unprecedented. This is not new. This is why we had the two world wars that we had, and this is why we had the wars over the Eastern question, and why we had all the wars of the 19th century. All of this has been utilizing Christians to destroy the Turkish Empire and to spread fear among Jews in order to force them to Palestine against their will. They have tried to create an animosity between people based on artificial religious distinctions in order to perpetrate calamities that will ultimately result in achieving their messianic goals.
Now, for somebody like myself who has lived, quite a distance from strict religious living, and I've lived, it's beyond the pale for me to understand the mentality of a group like this. And if it's always seemed to me, Christopher, that their goal was power and money. And if you wanted to understand where they were coming from and who they were doing it with and who to and all that, you just looked at the money and looked at who was going to gain and who was going to lose. And that's how I always lined up the bad guys and the good guys. But what you're saying here is that there may be another level, another layer of truth to what they're doing.
Well, it's an integrated layer. They are certainly after power and money, but one has to realize that both power and money are a part of the messianic prophecies they have created for themselves. They are told in their religious writings that they will have power over the whole world. This is why they have constantly been pushing for a world government. That is one facet of their biblical prophecies. Another facet is their prophetic statement that they will control all the wealth of the world. Only righteous Jews will be able to have wealth in the Messianic era.
And the rest of us will just be gutter snipe slaves for their doing their bidding.
That is what they prophesy. That is what they seek.
Well, they're not there yet, Chris.
They're not there yet, but they've caused great harm to humanity for centuries. In
yep.
their pursuit of these goals, in concentrating wealth and provoking wars in order to run nations into debt. And we can look at the effects just very recently of American imperialism, which has come at the instigation of Zionist Jews who have corrupted our government, corrupted our media, and corrupted our churches. This imperialism is ruining America. It has forever stained us with the murder of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Iraqis who had never harmed us, who had never made war against us. And all of this has happened because of Jewish Zionist imperialism hoisted upon the American public in a hateful and racist campaign to destroy all the peoples which surround Israel.
Well, I'd like to give everybody another example, and actually two of them. There was not many years ago, about 5 years ago, the utter destruction, implosion, I think it was 99, of the Argentine economy. And what happened with that is that these international bankers from the IMF, and you'll find a man named Wolfenson that was there before, and now it's Wolfowitz at the IMF, and the World Bank went in there and started foreclosing on just about everything that country had as an asset, sending that nation into a tailspin. And what happened was they lost almost two-thirds of their GDP in a year. Now, that crisis was devastating for Argentina. And when you take a look at what Argentina was as a nation back in the 40s and 50s, it was a first-world country with the kind of living standard most of America did not enjoy. So my point being is that they were allowed to use their power as vultures to go down there and completely destroy that nation. They did the very same thing during that Asian crisis in 94. And they swooped in and bought assets on the, 10 cents on the dollar. Is this a typical MO of how they swoop in and use their influence and power?
They've been doing it ever since they stole the wealth of Egypt in Genesis chapter 47. And the power of the banks, the international banks, is overwhelming. Farmers in these countries cannot compete if they're forced to pay more for their loans than in other countries. And if they're forced to sell their products against tariffs imposed on them. The Caribbean nations have been hurt by this. Many African nations have been hurt by this.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and that's the system of subsidies. While they complain about it all the time, they keep them in place, and no one looking at it from the outside says it makes any sense, especially with the kind of damage it's doing to developing nations. And yet, year after year, it's imposed on everyone, and the taxpayers are footing the bill for it. So basically, what they're doing is they're helping to destroy the third world, aren't they?
And they have been through colonialism for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. They were always the ones who were reaping the gold from all these nations and sending it back to Jerusalem, even in ancient times. Colonialism was always used as a means by them to concentrate wealth and the money supply in their own hands. And as they have accrued greater and greater wealth, they've accrued absolute control over international monetary policy.
Well, you see, now that makes perfect sense, too. That's why we went into Serbia, because Serbia had a financial system that was apart from the rest, and they were working with a dinar that had not been pegged to any currency, and that was a condition that the international bankers certainly could not allow, and so they got their henchmen within Washington's power structure, including this cretin of a president we had, Clinton. And they went in there and murdered people. And the interesting thing is it was Christians murdering Christians is what they did, wasn't it?
Yes, and today we have Jews murdering Christians in Lebanon. And we have to view this Israeli attack as an attack on the nation of Lebanon and the people of Lebanon collectively, because that's exactly what it is. This is not a limited incursion. This is a full-scale war against the people of Lebanon. It's a genocidal, cowardly, and racist war against the good people of Lebanon.
Well, I've always known Lebanese people to be some of the best educated and most international human beings there are in the world. In fact, they're renowned for so many quality things, and including their culture, their food, their business acumen. The quality of their architectures, it's just a wonderful country.
And it has been for thousands of years. Even in the book of Ezekiel, they talk about what a wonderful and beautiful place it is and how goodly the people are of Lebanon. This is just a vicious attack on defenseless people. It's a genocide, and it's a genocide that will instigate a broader and wider genocide.
Well, you know, I have had we weren't supposed to talk about this, Chris, but I want to bring it up anyway because I did get an email about it, and I'm going to bring it up. We know that there was a lot of bankers that were involved in the in puffing up the German economy in advance of the war. So in the 1930s, Hitler, when he first took power, needed money to expand his economy, to start public works projects and to build factories for armaments and whatnot. Where did he get that money from in your research? And were there other places his regime could be proven to have had a working relationship with Zionists, with names and possible dates here?
Yes, the bankers were the Warburgs, the Oppenheimers, Harriman, Bushes. Ultimately, most of the money goes back to the Rothschilds. Most of the control goes to the Rothschilds. And initially, very early on, he received financial support through Moses Pinkelis, who was a Zionist Jew. And it was, at that time, it was well known that Hitler was anti-Semitic and published anti-Semitic publications, and he was able to purchase the Münchener Beobachter, which he called the Focuser Beobachter. And that became the official party organ of the Nazi Party, and it was purchased with Jewish funds.
Now, that relationship went beyond just financing. They had at the very top of their organization some rather prominent Jews. Some of them were outwardly Jewish. Others of them were what could be described as crypto-Jews, what kind of evidence do we have that within the Nazi movement itself that there was active Jewish Zionist Jewish participation?
Well, the orchestrator of the so-called Final Solution at the Wannsee Conference was Reinhard Heydrich, and his father, I think, was named Bruno Zuse and was a famous Jewish opera singer. We also have Goebbels, who probably derived from Dutch Jews, and Julius Streicher, who was probably half-Jewish, and Adolf Eichmann, who many people believe was 100% Jewish, and stated that had he been openly Jewish, he would have been the most ardent Zionist imaginable. And in fact, he was the most ardent Zionist imaginable. He persecuted Jews in order to force them to Palestine against their will.
Now, wasn't there a big ramping up in the early 30s of German and Polish Jews, German Jews, that were actually shipped out of Germany early on? I mean, in other words, Palestine fell under the weight of a huge influx of German Jews, and the migration that came into Palestine in that period, 1933-34, was precipitated by the anger and vitriol that was being stirred up within Europe. Am I right about this?
Yes, but it was orchestrated in a way that Herzl had planned. Herzl had promised Christians that it was in their interest to expel Jews. All the way back in his book, The Jewish State of 1896, he tried to create an incentive among Gentile governments to persecute and expel Jews so that they could profit from the expulsion of Jews. And he promised them that they would derive profits from Jewish property that they could confiscate, and from transporting Jews through the railways and other means, they would profit from that, and that Christian Gentiles would profit because they could take over the businesses and the careers of the Jews who were forcibly expelled. This was an ongoing process that was orchestrated by the Zionists long before the Nazi Party was ever created.
And now, when did they start in earnest to have real large-scale, cruise-type boats filled up with migrating Jews?
In the 30s, I think it was von Mildenstein. There were articles in Der Angriff where it reported on a Nazi travels to Palestine. And Eichmann was also involved in trying to set up in the late 30s a system of steamers to get Jews into Palestine, but the British obstructed all those attempts. And those attempts were also used to manufacture wealth for the Third Reich. They charged the Jews enormous sums to go, and England also tried to impose tariffs on them and to prevent their emigration. The British very much wanted to make sure that the Jews found no sanctuary during the war, so that after the war they would be so traumatized that they would go en masse to Palestine and stay. The problem was, even those Jews who went in this emigration to Palestine didn't like it and returned either to Germany or to other countries in Europe.
Go ahead, Chris.
That is one of the reasons why the Jews were running from Czechoslovakia to Austria to other countries. They didn't really want to go to Palestine, and those who went didn't like it and came back. And it was at that point that the British Zionists determined that they will be given no sanctuary until after the war. And they also used the war as a eugenics program, as a means to kill off the weakest Jews, because they believed that the ghetto systems of Europe had caused the Jews to inbreed and created genetic damage in the Jews, which they wanted to undo.
Oh.
And we know this from their own words.
Now, how many people at the top of the Nazi Party, other than the ones you mentioned so far, or even at the middle range of it, or even in the... How many were actually working openly as Jewish... I know Warburg did not leave Germany. He was a Hamburg resident and did not leave Germany during the war or during most of it.
There were hundreds of thousands, according to, I think his name is Riggs, there were hundreds of thousands of German Jewish soldiers in the Wehrmacht. We know from Eichmann that there were at least 50 Jewish SS men. It's they went to great lengths to cover up the Jewish past of many people, and they also had a process which they called Aryanization, whereby Hitler could Aryanize a Jew and make him an official Aryan. And this also has a history with Karl Luger, who was the mayor of Vienna, and he said, I determine who is a Jew and who is not a Jew, meaning that he could give sanctuary to Zionist Jews while persecuting other Jews into becoming Zionists.
Wow. Well, so see, we've got a history of this foment, this crazy design of war. And what you're saying now is that the last they talked about, Albert Pike talked about a three war solution. Talked about the first and second war would not be sufficient to get the world's population on board for this kind of supremacy and takeover that they had planned. Now, where does his planning come in on this? Because there's a lot of people out there who talk about satanic. They talk about Aleister Crowley. I mean, all this stuff gets mishmashed in there, Christopher. And even the Jesuits, the Catholic Church, all this stuff gets thrown in the mix. And what ends up happening for the average person, you can't make hide nor hair out of this stuff because the noise is just so loud. How does this stuff really suss out here?
Well, there was a centuries-long program of trying to create hostilities between East and West and between Reform Christians and Catholics to foment all these wars. And this had been going on in England and in Russia since at least the 1500s and in Spain since the 1400s. And it was directed primarily against the Turkish Empire and the Pope of Rome. Making hide nor hair of it is it's a complex situation. I think we ought to address what is happening today and what we should infer from the events that are happening today.
Well, I'm trying to give people a background, and what I think the World War II's background is still fresh within the minds of many, even though they're trying to spin it into their own story. As we move along, what we need to do is establish their willingness to murder, and then take a look at the events of today and say, okay, well, I can see this, that they are bloodthirsty, and that they're willing to murder, and they're willing to kill 100 million in 100 years, and then try to juxtapose that same kind of mentality on what is going on in the Middle East, so that people are not saying, oh, they wouldn't do that, or, oh, that couldn't possibly be true, or because we're battling a lot of denial here.
Well, we can use as an example the Nuremberg Laws, the infamous Nuremberg Laws, I believe, of 1935. And those were patterned after Jewish law in the book of Ezra, I believe chapter 9, where the Jews are told to segregate and to not intermarry so that they can preserve the holy seed of the Jews. Now, German Jews were very sophisticated, very cosmopolitan people, and they were assimilating into Gentile German culture. And there weren't that many German Jews. It was no problem for the Germans to absorb their Jewish population and assimilate them. So it's highly irrational that the Nazis should have taken such a strong stance against assimilation. It was, in fact, the Zionists who wanted, since the 1800s, to have laws in Germany which forbid Jews from marrying Gentiles. And the Nuremberg Laws were actually made at the instigation of Zionist Jews in order to prevent the assimilation of German Jews into German society. They wanted to keep the holy blood pure and keep the so-called race going.
Now, it's interesting. Were the German Jews aware of the fact that they were not even Semitic?
Yes. In fact, they believed it more strongly than modern Jews. In the 30s and in the 20s, there was a great deal of literature which promoted the idea that Jews were Eastern European Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, were primarily of Khazar origin. They were very much aware of it.
Well, then how did they square that circle to being the chosen people? If that were true, anyone could declare themselves chosen. In other words, I could convert to Judaism like the Khazarians did and then choose myself as the superior being, superior race. In other words, geez, why not anybody be able to do that? I mean, if you weren't born into that group, you were a convert to it in a few centuries earlier, and then you declare yourself to be above everybody else?
Well,
that doesn't sound like it's based on rational thinking.
That is essentially what Christianity has done for humanity. It has passed the covenant along to Gentiles and states expressly that there are no more Jews. The reason the Ashkenazis did it is because they had these traditions of segregation and racism that dated back for centuries. And they lived in segregated ghettos, and they talked to one another about what wonderful people they are and how they've been persecuted for 5,000 years, and they worked themselves up into a paranoid frenzy that, oh my God, after these 5,000 years of suffering, we are going to assimilate and disappear. And they created a worldwide panic in their community that assimilation was going to remove the Jewish race. And this was a horrific idea for them because they were promised that if they held together and remained segregated and atoned for disobeying God, that eventually their Messiah, their King, would come down. Now, children who are taught these beliefs don't have these beliefs genetically. It makes no difference that they're not of Judean stock initially. The significant fact is that they held to these beliefs, and they continually told themselves, next year in Jerusalem. It was the means that led to the cohesiveness of their communities, the exclusiveness of their business transactions, and resulted in widespread corruption of other governments. And all this is orchestrated within their religious beliefs. It is wrong to view Judaism as a spiritual system exclusively. It is primarily a political, racist, segregationist, tribalistic system of beliefs, and they have fallen victim to it. And it matters not what their genetic stock is. All human beings are vulnerable to such racist and hateful belief systems. They believe it is the short answer to your question.
So just believing it can gloss over the facts as long as they become indoctrinated. They're myopic to a point of denying factual evidence.
Absolutely.
I'm dealing with some people within the Jewish community who are trying to attack me that come from that exact same perspective. Exactly.
Well, that's been going on for thousands of years. The Judeans themselves have held no title to the land. The initial beliefs themselves are the beliefs that these people who have no claim to this land have a right to steal it because their mythologies tell them so. It's very easy to believe that Turkic peoples would glom on to these false beliefs and perpetuate them because the whole thing originates in false beliefs, deliberate false beliefs.
Well, it's amazing to me that a whole race of people could be so buffaloed, so lied to and believe it. But you know what? I'm not shocked by it anymore, Chris, because I've witnessed these things as being true. Now, let's go back now to the movements that are, you know, these present machinations that are all spinning out of control, as I believe, because, I mean, you know, I watched on TV today in the French television. They show a picture of a Red Cross ambulance that was bombed from the air with a precision-guided bomb into the ambulance. Now, what kind of monsters would target ambulances?
They believe in the concept of total war because that is what is prophesied in their religious writings. And they believe in trying to create horrors among people and to create broader wars and to create hatreds against themselves and against the United States so that they can alienate themselves from the rest of the world, use the United States as their sword to wipe out all these people. They do not have good intentions. They are not intent upon peace. They are intent upon world war. And they have control of our media, and they are pushing strongly in the American media to create a third world war. And they are celebrating the idea that Christian Zionist lunatics want 2 billion people to die so that they believe Jesus will whisk them away into heaven. And the American media is promoting that nonsense.
Are they still promoting it? I don't get to see this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think the support for it is not nearly as broad as they would like. I don't think Americans are that crazy in large numbers, large enough numbers to overwhelm the government. But they are crazy enough in large enough numbers to form a swing vote.
Well, let's go back to the vote on support for Israel in this recent carnage. It was 412-8 for the Israeli murder of Lebanese. That statistic, that vote, tells you everything you need to know about who controls America's political system.
Well, Colonel Edward Mandel House wrote a very interesting book in 1912 called Philip Drew Administrator. And one of the characters is a senator. And in the dialogue which takes place in the book, House spells out very clearly how the Congress is run. And even those eight who voted against it may simply have been stooges to make it appear somewhat that within the Congress there's room for dissension, when in fact there is not. And he spells out very clearly the way the American political system was run then and certainly is run today. He also predicted Woodrow Wilson, the Federal Reserve, World War, strife with Mexico, all the things which have taken place House knew about in 1912. So we know that this is the fulfillment of planning. This is not prophetic or magical insight into anything. And House was a Rothschild agent in the United States.
Now, how are they dealing with the fact that the Internet has come along and that, and I'll give you an example. Nine months ago, when I Googled Zionism on my search engine, I got 1,700 hits. And that means 1,700 places on the net where Zionism was discussed. I did it yesterday, and it was 5.3 million. Now, that's in 8 months. There is a groundswell occurring. They could not have had this in their planning.
Yeah, that's a wrench in the works. And I think that people ought to get out and get on every message board, and the Arab people who are in immediate danger and the American people who are in immediate danger by these demons should get out and hit every message group. Don't let anything go unchallenged, and speak out. Speak out loudly against all this, because you know that there are Mossad agents worldwide doing the same thing. And we have Mossad agents in our media, we have Mossad agents in our government, we have Mossad agents in our churches, and we have Israeli firsters in all those institutions. And it's very dangerous. But we can counter their voice. Simply speak out. Don't let it go unchallenged. And they know, they have very sophisticated understanding of group psychology. And when people start raising their voice against it, then there will be a larger groundswelling, and it will grow exponentially. But when they have control of the media, and they can make it appear that the majority opinion favors them, that's a terrible thing for us that has terrible, long-lasting consequences. But we have the means through the Internet to let people know that their polls and their opinion makers are lying to the American people.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I ask each broadcast, and I ask each time I get on the radio, for people to go to these forums and go to message boards and Craigslist and all of these different Google chat rooms and all of them, even if it's a cooking chat room, go in there and drop a bomb on them. You know, go tell them about this stuff. Say, have you heard? Have you looked? Have you read? The fact is that we have a flow of information coming out, but most people are not even aware where the Middle East is on a map these days in America. I mean, the Americans are worked. They stay awful long hours at work doing very little, it seems to me, and they're always chasing their next paycheck. And frankly, it doesn't seem like many of them are interested in finding out about a lot of this. We need to ramp up the people's interest in these facts, Christopher.
Well, that's why I'm calling for someone to make a good movie about this Antichrist, which is manifesting itself in Israel. And I view that from a secular perspective, not a religious perspective, because I view Jesus Christ as the manifestation of peace and humanity. And what is happening in Israel today is certainly warlike and inhumane. And if we could get someone to make a powerful film exposing how this group of racist Jews is exploiting the American people to bring about their own demise, I think it would have a very powerful effect. And the same thing should happen with respect to the Russian Holocaust in Russia. The Russian people should be made aware of this war that has been going on against them for hundreds of years and the horrific consequences it has had for them. And it would also be good for the American people to see such a movie, because they would realize what is coming for us. We are running up terrible debts through this imperialism, and we are creating a horrific history of the American experiment through this imperialism, which is manifesting itself simply because racist Jews have control of the American media and the American government. And we have to fight against it. And we have to take responsibility for the actions that we permit to happen in our name.
That's right. That's right. I mean, if you want to know who's responsible, all we need to do is look in the mirror. Here's the thing. They don't have the numbers to control us if we are aware of what they're doing. So the fact is, this is a battle to get people to spend enough time to learn these facts. Because once you understand these facts, and you understand that the evil that they have planned, you have no choice but to stand up. Because if you don't, you're going to go down in flames. I mean, they're not going to give up. They're not going to be satisfied with any win that they have. They're always going to want more. Am I correct in assuming that?
Not only that, but they have inexhaustible resources. So as their agents become exhausted, they can buy up new ones. But what we have is mass numbers and the truth on our side. And we should not become discouraged, and we should not believe that the group is against us. We have to raise our voices, and then others will join us in a chorus. And I think there should also be another movie made for the Islamic world called Crypto Jew. And they should be made aware that their governments have been corrupted and are actively working with Israel to foment these wars.
Yeah.
And if I could, I would like to discuss some of the things that are happening today and how they correlate to Israel's plans.
Go ahead.
I believe that they are heating up events in Iraq so that they have a pretext for sending more U.S. troops into the region. I also believe that they're trying to build up false hopes that this war against the Lebanon is about to end. I think it should be clear to people that this war is not going to end. It's going to broaden. And it's going to broaden because they want it to broaden. And they are claiming that Hezbollah is especially strong when it is not. And they are saying that so that they are buying time to wreak greater and greater havoc on Lebanon and to destroy all the property of Lebanon. And they are trying to blame Hezbollah's strength for their barbarity in destroying that beautiful nation. Now, why are they doing all this? If we look to Ezekiel, again, before I mentioned Ezekiel chapter 27, well, they're now entering into a new phase which correlates to chapter 28. They want to bring in NATO forces. They want to bring the Crusaders back into the Islamic world. And they want to turn Turkey against Syria and Iran. And if they get NATO involved, Turkey will be a means for launching airstrikes against Syria and Iran, and that's very important to Israel. But it is also important that they fulfill Ezekiel's designs to destroy the Lebanese people. And it should be noted that Ezekiel says what a wise, wonderful people the Lebanese are, and what a beautiful country Lebanon is, and what a gift it is to humanity, because it facilitates trade, the arts, the sciences, etc.
Well, what biblical reason did Ezekiel have at the destruction? I mean, why would anybody in a passage want to tout the beauty of a place and the wonder of its people and then say, you must go in there and kill it? What was the reason? What was this guy, a nut job? Or what was the problem with this man?
This man was taken up and held in the Babylonian exile. The reason he gives is that the prince of Tyrus, which is today called Tyre, stated that he was a god. In the ancient world, most peoples declared that their leader was God. The Pharaoh was God, the Roman emperor was God, the Greek emperor was God. This was common practice. And they used that as an excuse to decimate other peoples because they declared that the God of the Jews was a jealous God. And they used that as a reason to wreak havoc on other peoples and to kill them off. And we find that throughout the Old Testament. And another reason is that the city of Sidon was long an enemy of the Israelis, and they called it the firstborn of the Canaanites, and they wanted to steal the land of the Canaanites. Now, it's very significant that they called it the firstborn of the Canaanites, because in their belief system, the firstborn would have to be sacrificed to Moloch. They are now sacrificing the nation of Lebanon to God, and they use those express terms. So they have an ancient hatred and an ancient plan to level this nation to what they call stubble. That is why they are utterly destroying Lebanon. It has nothing to do with Hezbollah. Their Mossad could have infiltrated Hezbollah and removed it immediately. And if you look in Ezekiel chapter 28, they even have a plan to create Hezbollah within Lebanon so that they can use it as a pretext for leveling Lebanon to the ground. And if I could, I would like to read a few passages from Ezekiel chapter 28.
Yep.
Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. Now this relates to what I'm saying, that the reason Ezekiel is calling for this war on the Lebanese is because Tyrus says that he's God. Now, that was verse 2. In verses 7 and 8, we discover that they want to bring in NATO, which they call strangers, to also wage war against the peoples to the north of them. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Verse 10, thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Verses 16 to 19, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By thy iniquity of thy traffic, therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished by thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now that calls for the complete eradication of the Lebanese and the creation of a terrorist organization as a pretext for all this heinous, vile, racist attack upon the Lebanese people. Verses 23 and 24 continue. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Now Ezekiel then proceeds from the absolute destruction of Lebanon to the destruction of Egypt, the destruction of Syria, the destruction of Jordan, the destruction of Saudi Arabia, the destruction of Libya, the destruction of Ethiopia, etc., etc., etc. And they are following to the letter this plan which was created by Ezekiel 2,500 years ago.
Well, let me say this, just listening. That God that they follow sounds like a murderous, psychopathic serial killer.
That is exactly the way the early Christians viewed the God of the Old Testament. And they tried to distinguish Christ as the Son of the ultimate God. And they said that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the Creator. And that is why Christians have the belief that the flesh is inherently evil and that spirit is what is significant. So the Christians, the early Christians, tried to distinguish themselves from the Old Testament because they knew what a vile and ugly religion Judaism was. And they were not alone. The Romans and the Greeks and other peoples, the Egyptians, talked about what a terrible religious belief system this was, what a genocidal, maniacal, megalomaniacal religions and belief system that these people had created for themselves, and how it only resulted in war, segregation, strife, and the theft of the wealth of other nations. And this pattern has repeated itself ad nauseum for the past 2,500 years. And they are today trying to utilize the United States to bring about the worst phase of this plan. And that means the destruction of humanity.
You know, I don't know what to say to that. I'm really at loss for words. Listening to it, I was struck by the sickness that I heard. And I heard in each passage something further and even sicker than the last. If I were adherent to a particular religion, it certainly wouldn't be one that espoused that kind of illness. And I find it to be aberrant in the extreme here. Now, how do we see? If that's the Jewish faith, then how do we square the circle of even allowing that kind of racism to be part of the daily? I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
There were many popes and many empires which forbade this hateful literature. And there have been many attempts to welcome the Jews into the broader community and get them out of this racist, genocidal belief system. And some have been successful, most have failed, and many have come at the instigation of the very Jewish racists who want to perpetuate this belief system. So it's a very dangerous situation. If you try to tell them to stop it, they use that as a means to segregate themselves and destroy your government. And then they will borrow up all your wealth by putting you into war so that you go into debt. And they secure those debts by the taxes of the people they seek to destroy. And then they put an anti-Semite into power. And that anti-Semite segregates them as they want to be segregated and expels them as they want to be expelled. And they carry with them all the debts of that nation which they drive into war deliberately through covert means.
Now, are they planning a pogrom for the American Jewish community?
There may be many things going on. They may say that since Jews have not all moved to Israel, they have again been disobedient to God. And since so many of the Jews of Israel are secular, they also have been disobedient to God. Now, they call for, and Christianity calls for, a tribulation period. The Jews call it the birth pangs of the Messiah. The Christians call it the tribulations. And they call for a seven-year period in which Israel will be crushed. They may be planning, Jewish racist leadership may be planning the genocide of the people of Israel, just as they planned the genocide of the European Jew. I don't think they want pogroms in the United States, but what they want is to utilize the United States as their sword. And after that happens, they will want a rise in anti-Semitism to expel the Jews of America and force them into what they believe they will have created then, the greater Israel, which they are creating right now.
Now, is it possible that they would, if this is their ultimate goal, then they could be using me to try to spread the truth about this stuff in order to anger Christians into being hateful toward Jews, which I wouldn't support, because I've said so many times on this show, geez, one of the only people that came to my wedding over here in France was a Jewish friend of mine from New York, and somebody fed me every day to go to college. I stopped in for a sandwich and some salad every day. I mean, come on. This is going to be awful for people that don't deserve it, Christopher. And you know, these people didn't follow this sickness.
That's why it's so key that we expose that most anti-Semitic movements, and primarily Nazism, was created by Zionist Jews who want to create strife between Jews and non-Jews so that they can force Jews into segregation and expulsion to what they call the Holy Land. We have to guard very carefully, and we also have to watch out for people who are calling for banking reforms, especially when they propose solutions which will ultimately benefit the bankers. And we have to stop these wars which are throwing the United States into debt and ruining our people economically, spiritually, morally, and in terms of our ability to generate creative, intelligent people. Independently thinking people who can stand up against this.
Well, you know, I'm at the point where I've had about enough of this as I can take for a day. This is heavy stuff, Chris.
It's important stuff, and we shouldn't get discouraged. We should recognize the gravity of the situation and act. And in acting, we will regain our strength. I realize that this is depressing and is a drag on your psyche, but the way to get your energy back is to fight.
Well, that's right, and that's what I promote on this program, that if you were listening last night, you know that I believe we can and will win this battle. And I believe that it is a foregone conclusion that we will take these people down. I honestly think that with all my heart. And the fact is, understanding your enemy in these battles, these psychological battles, these actual wars that they're starting, I think is the beginning of understanding how we can defeat them. Now, first of all, you mentioned something to me privately that the institutions of America, there was nothing wrong with how most of those were formulated and instituted. The problem has been the bastardization and the usurping of their intent over time. And rather than to call for a revolution against those systems, what we should do is take them back into our own control.
Absolutely. As I said, don't blow up the bridge. Chase the usurpers off of it. Revolutions have always been used by them to put their agents into power. And they always promise utopias. This is not going to be a utopia. We have to slowly, steadily, and strengthily fight back. And to destroy in the process of fighting back will only mean that we will have no wealth and no means, and they will have all the wealth and all the means with which to destroy us, as they did to the Germans, as they did to the Turkish Empire, as they did to the Russians. We cannot fall into that trap of letting them force us to suffer so much that we call for a revolution. We have to educate our people, and we need an information system. We need a major network in the United States to counteract their lies, because once we have that, they will be so easily exposed and such resentment will build up against them that they will have no means of gaining political control. Their lies are so obvious and their actions are so heinous and their history is so vile that if these facts are brought before the public, the public will have no choice but to side against them.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Well, I'll tell you what. In the next installment, get in touch with me about what we're going to be discussing, Chris. I think It's important that we continue our discussions here on these subjects, and I invite other specialists in this and with knowledge of this particular flow of information to contact me. We can work on this with other like-minded strategists and strategists and to put together the best information we can, and to discuss in the most earnest way how we can defeat these this group. Chris, I got to tell you, you know, I deal with this day in and day out. You know that, and I got to say, with 100 degree heat in my loft and the mixture of what I just listened to, I am worn out. Just telling you, I'm worn out.
May I quickly mention my website where they can see the information that
Please
I have
do.
Gathered together, which has
Please
led
do.
Me to
yes.
these conclusions.
Yeah.
If they go to JewishRacism.com, JewishRacism.com, and click on the Einstein icon, it will take them to a book in which all this information is spelled out. There are also other links they can peruse. And for the Christian Zionists out there, I invite you to look at the link from the homepage which goes to Christian Zionism, and to explore the book, especially Gustav Dahlmann's book, on how Jesus Christ is portrayed in the Talmud and the Zohar. And they will realize that Christian Zionism is a contradiction in terms, and they have been duped by people who mean them nothing but ultimate harm.
Well, I want to thank you again for this installment, Chris. It's been an education, as it always is. I will be in touch with you shortly. It's been very powerful today, and I hope all of you out there listening have learned as much as I have today about these subjects. I don't claim to be any expert on any of it, and the fact is, having this stuff shared on this broadcast like it's been, Chris, is an eye opener to say the least. I would like to know if we can get Colonel House's book online. Is that possible?
It's up. It's online. All you have to do is either link to it or copy it. It's a public domain document. I believe there's either a Gutenberg text of it. There are probably several versions of it. The passages which relate to the corruption of the American political system are quoted in my book as well, but I will certainly send you a link to the book, and you can do with it what you think is most appropriate. And also I'd like to send you a copy of Ezekiel chapter 28 so that people can read the verses from which I quoted in the full context. And they should realize that Tyrus and Sidon are both cities in Lebanon.
Yeah. Well, I think each and every one of us should take a moment and think about the disaster that is brewing in Lebanon and the suffering of those people. Every human being on the earth should turn their attention to that mess and take time out of their days just to understand what kind of things are going on. But until our next broadcast, Chris, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been the next installment of The French Connection. My name is Darrell Bradford Smith, and I bid you all a great evening. Bye-bye now. Be well.